Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for an Elon Daily, and I'm just about wetting myself due to an enlarged prostate. But also, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, of course, of two, count them two, that is one and then the other one, tweets that occurred on Sunday afternoon. There I was, minding my own business, when all of a sudden, the first tweet came, and it said this: first public test of version 3.0 supercharger station goes live Wednesday, 8 p.m. And I was excited. It's huge. It's big. It's large. And then the other tweets from the people that follow the Elon came fast. And first of all, there was Robert from Talking Tesla. Man, he is fast off the tweet there. And he says, it keeps getting better and better. And he asked the question, where? And then Dennis Pascal has that sort of snaky, you know, the robot snake thing. Could it be that? And I'm guessing, or we're guessing, the Twitterverse is guessing, many people are guessing, that that first one will probably be at SpaceX, at the sort of design center next to SpaceX. That would be the logical place to put it. And in fact, there was a lot of repairs going on just a couple of months ago. So I'd love to see that. I wonder if they're going to do a little bit of a reveal event there of some form, maybe do some live streaming, or we'll see. But you know, that's exciting enough, because we are hoping above hope, beyond all hope, that version 3 will fix a lot of the problems with the superchargers, and you know, faster charging being the key thing. If they can get it even twice as fast, that would be great. If they can get it twice as fast sustained, as I've talked about so many times on the show, that would be amazing. So they've actually been talking about version 3 of Supercharger for quite a while, and some people were saying in the early days, like 350 kilowatts, like Porsche is going to do. But Elon said that doesn't make a lot of sense unless you have a massive battery pack. So probably 250 is where we think this supercharger is going to go. So about twice the kilowatts, which would be fine, which would be good, which would be great. I think I've said this before on the show. On my Model 3, when it's under 50% charge and I plug it in, I get close to the 120 kilowatts that you can get right now. That's the equivalent of about 500 miles of range per hour. It doesn't stay there for very long. It's very interesting how quickly it drops. But you could be, therefore, theoretically doing 1,000 miles per hour of charge. So that's about 16, 17 miles of range per minute. So if you could do that for about 10 to 12-ish minutes, you could get 200 miles in just over 10 minutes. That would be fantastic. If you could get 200 miles in about 10 minutes, now we are talking. Thank you very much. It depends on the battery chemistry. So we don't even know which battery chemistry can take that, or which battery packs can take that in terms of the cooling. So does S and X get that? Do the first versions of Model 3, we believe they've changed the configuration of the battery in the Model 3 even since the early days. So which one is going to sustain it? I guess we shouldn't do too much conjecture here, because every time we do conjecture, we get it wrong. So let's just wait till Wednesday. We'll report about it on Thursday, although I just realized I am flying to Australia on Wednesday, but maybe it's possible I could get something done at the airport and posted for Thursday morning, but you'll all be watching the Twitterverse and you'll know. And I just realized when I do silly calculations like that, where I just take the kilowatts and I double them and then I therefore say you're going to have twice the charging rate, I have no idea. I have no background in electrical engineering or anything, and I don't know what happens to resistance, and I don't even know what I don't know. So there's smart people out there saying, Mel, you're an idiot. So I'm going to personally wait and see what that sort of results in terms of what matters. It's not how many kilowatts they're shoving in there, but ultimately what matters is how fast you can charge it. So I'll shut the hell up, and we'll find out, hopefully, on Wednesday. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's exciting. But that's not enough, right? That's not enough. That made me the happiest little boy in California. And then, like within minutes, came the next tweet, which was Model Y reveal event March 14th. And then my head, it doth explode all over the place. So it says exactly, Model Y unveil event March 14th at LA Design Center. It's interesting that those two are occurring together, right? So Model Y, I know in the show, this show, which is only just like a few weeks old, I've talked about Model Y so many times. I really think that this car is going to kill it, because here in North America, people want SUVs. This is going to be a mini SUV. This is going to have all of the latest hardware, particularly when it comes to autonomous driving, and it's going to have the latest batteries, and maybe we're going to see something new there as well. And I'm hoping an increase in range. So let me just say this. Let me say this one more time. Here's what I would love to see. Not trying to be crazy, because you can do these. Well, I'd love to see 20,000 miles range at 15. You know, come on, let's be serious. So what I would love to see is a sweet looking Tesla designed Model Y. And I know it'll be great. Please no falcon wing doors. The Falcon Wing doors are cool, they show well, but they're really not that practical. They're a bit of a pain in the butt. They are difficult to build, and they hit you on the head every now and then. So I don't want to see those Falcon Wing doors. I want to see more of a standard door. That would be great. Based on the Model 3, we know that, so that we can get this ramping up and fast as possible. 75% of the parts, they say, are going to be Model 3. I would love to see at least a version that has something like 400 miles of range. So put in something like a 100 kilowatt hour battery pack in that puppy, because we know the air resistance is going to be more than the Model 3. So give us something like 400 mile range would be cool. Version 3.0 of the supercharger, so I can charge it up from 0 to 300 miles of range pretty quickly. Oh, that would be sweet. In the past, Elon has joked, suggested that maybe the Model Y won't even have a steering wheel. I don't think we're there yet. I think that is still a few years away, so I do expect that there will be all the autonomous features that appear to be coming soon, but we're in no place not to have a human behind the wheel, even with everything that Elon's been talking about the last few weeks. But I do hope, if they put a fairly monstrous battery pack in there and you get a lot of range, that they also give you the ability to plug in 120 volt here in North America, 120 volt appliances and stuff to it, so that then this could be sort of the camping, driving, plug some stuff into your car machine. That would be sweet. I don't suspect that they'll have new sensors or LiDAR or anything like that. They might add a few cameras. They might have done some learnings and found that they need to do some other stuff. But they're the kind of things that I want to see. I really just don't want to see Falcon Wing doors. I'm excited because I have a lease on an S, which is up at the end of this year. And so I'm hoping to get into a Model Y because I'm hoping production will start early next year. There's probably going to be something about 5G. 5G connectivity could probably really help with the autonomous driving. 5G could certainly help with like entertainment in the car if you really don't have to be watching what the heck you're doing. So I expect they'll future-proof this because 5G isn't here yet. It might be just rolling out in a few cities, but it's really not going to be around for a couple of years. But I expect some sort of future-proofing because they're probably not going to build it until next year. And I expect that they'll open up reservations that night, later in the evening, for $1,000 or $2,000. And I suspect, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that maybe 400,000, 500,000 people will plonk down $1,000 or $2,000. And that wouldn't be bad for Tesla's bottom line. It will help out as they get ready to ramp up production at the Gigafactory. Because although we don't know for sure if this is going to be built at the Gigafactory, Elon himself has suggested that is by far the most likely scenario. So there's a lot happening this week. Wednesday, Supercharger 3. Next week, we have the Model Y reveal. Unfortunately, I will be in Australia, and I'm going to try and continue to do this show from Australia. But this is an exciting couple of weeks, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Now, I'm sure that my colleagues from Talking Tesla will be at the event, or at least will be able to somehow get into the event if not invited. So Tom, Robert, get to that event. And unfortunately now, we have to go to other news, and Reuters is reporting that U.S. authorities are investigating a fatal Model S crash in Florida last Sunday that killed the driver and caused what they say here is a massive fire. This, unfortunately, is on the heels of another fatal crash, this time in a Model 3 2018 edition, around the same time. So now these are both being investigated by the NHTSA, and the big question that everybody has for these is, did this occur while on autopilot? This is a big deal. Did this occur while on autopilot and under what circumstances? Because Elon continues to push this idea that autopilot is way safer than a human. But now the deaths are starting to rack up. Might still be true, might be. We need the data. But this is what makes us all worried when we see a Tesla crash. We worry about autopilot. Because let's be very clear. Even though the Model 3 is the safest car ever sort of studied by the US government, and S and X are the next two most safe cars that have ever been studied, you can die in a car accident no matter what car it is. Just be very clear about that. And it appears to be that this crash was one of those most dreaded. As an ER doc of 30 years, I've seen a few of these. And this is the worst thing, is where a low-down car hits a truck in such a way that it goes underneath the truck and shears off the top of the car. One of these crashes, that appears to be what happened. That is a unsurvivable injury unless you duck. And it happens so fast, most people can't. And so any car you can die in. You reduce your probability of dying in a car crash by driving the safest car possible. And if you can afford it, you should do that. And the other big thing that you can do to reduce your chance of dying in a car accident is drive slower. you get to a certain point, and I can't remember where that inflection point is, but there's an inflection point where it becomes exponential. The faster and faster you go, the more likely the accident is to be fatal, because these cars, you know, they can't defy physics. At some point, that energy, yes, it can be dissipated, and Teslas are really great at doing that, and they have wonderful crumple zones and stuff, but at some point, that energy is going to be transferred to you, and you are a box of jelly and meat, and if too much energy transfer occurs to you, despite the car, despite the airbags, despite the seatbelts, you will get messed up. So that's my public service announcement, and as an ER doc on Elon Daily for today, slow down. Go the slowest that is reasonable. Obviously, we need to get places, but each year in the United States, 35 to 40,000 people a year die in their cars, and many more are gravely injured. Slow down. If you can, slow it down. Just look, don't go at 85 miles an hour when 70 will do it. 85 miles an hour is a much more transfer of energy. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, super excited about the version 3. Super excited about why. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Whew, what a week.